Welcome back, everyone. As long as you're staying seated, you're listening, life is good for everybody. But life can be much better if you check us out on
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Ava?
Facebook.
Perfect. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Those are all the places we're at.
Yeah. Check it out. It's going to be good. You're going to love it. And that's it's the time of year when you can go find out if you already have a resort booked. Hey, plug that in. Find out what's going on where you're at. It's pretty simple. Right, Donald?
That's right.
Okay. We like it. Now that you have electronic licensing, everybody's going to get in the swing of that. I'm actually waiting to get a report. Next couple weeks, I'm going to try and get a report from some bait shops. A lot of mixed reports coming in.
From around the Midwest?
Yeah. Well, from Minnesota, because we just went to the electronic licensing procedure. We just went, that was on the 9th. And that, in the past, they've tried it in a very short run. It didn't work. They bailed.
What are you talking about?
Like buying a license online. They do it. It's all digital now.
Gotcha.
So everything has to be done digitally. They have to buy the printer. The dealership has to buy the computer to do it. Everything. They have to buy everything to put it in.
But you can buy it online at home.
I know that. But what I'm saying is you can't just take a pad of paper like they used to do and buy a license.
Oh, okay.
Like you didn't used to have that methodology.
Back in the olden days?
Yeah. Well, okay. So we've heard some challenges because not everybody has a good internet connection. Some of the different areas are not solid with that.
Okay.
So anyway, moving right along. But Don, you had a comment that I cut you off before the break.
Yes.
But I like to save things that are they're good and they will come to people that wait. So this must be good. I'm just telling Ava this
well,
has got to be good.
We're on one of our annual trips and we had caught our walleye for the week,
right.
and we were looking to see if we could find some of the big slab crappies up there in Lake
right.
of the Woods. So here a couple of years ago, we had found out about a secret spot. And you probably heard me talking about this, where we went to the secret spot at like 6 in the morning because we're going to be the first there.
We're going to sneak up on them.
We're going to sneak up on them, right? And we come around the corner, and there's 22 boats sitting there.
So much for sneaking.
So much for...
And secret.
So much for secret. So we got a lot of laugh out of that. Well, this year, we hadn't picked up many crappies. So a lot of times we do just accidentally fishing for walleye. So we thought, well, maybe they're in that particular location. It's a big hole is what it is. So we took the venture. It's from our camp about 12 miles. It's quite a boat trip. It's kind of fun. And we went over there and we fished probably from about 6, 7 in the morning till right around noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. Hadn't seen a crappie yet. So we go back to our camp and we fished around there. And that's where I caught the nice fish, right? Last fish of the
right.
of the trip. And I usually come in around 3 o'clock because I got a lot of packing to do because we depart the following morning. So I go over to the fish cleaning shack because I had a couple of walleyes that we needed to clean yet. And I get over to the fish cleaning shack, and there are three guys sitting on the dock throwing slip bobbers out right in front of the docks, and they're bringing in crappies. And they got one guy in the fish cleaning shack trying to keep up with them. They had at least two limits of fish. While I was there. And I'm going, we just drove halfway around the world.
To the like secret it. Spot.
To it the turns secret out, spot. The we could have been fishing on the dock.
The secret spot was the dock fishing.
Yeah.
But it's always greener on the other side, isn't
it? Yeah, well, that's what they say. It was the opposite way.
I would think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, I'm heading up to Lake of the Woods soon here and looking forward to that. The challenge is that temperatures are going to be not good. Wind is not going to be good.
Well, you know, we were up
15
there
to 30.
Oh, that's really not good, especially if you're going across
and
Big
rain.
Bay.
As long as it's east to west, you can trough them. That's not so bad. I'm good with that. But if I have to go into them, I just I'm short enough as it is, Don. I started out tournament fishing. I was 6'1". Now I'm only 5'10".
30 mile an hour on Traverse Bay is not fun.
I've done it. Trust me.
Yeah. I've been out there in 40, and that was really not fun.
As long as it's the 15 is a standard, and the 30 is not so much.
I would say the most wind we had the whole week we were there was about between 8 and 10, which is a nice chop.
It's supposed to be raining in one whole day, just rain, with 30-mile-an-hour winds and 44 degrees.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited. Anyway, speaking of being excited, kind of a cool thing that we had talked about with Ron Shera, MinFish has pushed a lot for this, and it has come to fruition in commentary about this particular the investment in fishing infrastructure in Minnesota. A near record bonding bill of $1.24 million passed the Minnesota legislature, including the big wins for state anglers, according to the staffers from the MNFish, the nonprofit fishing advocacy group, and Ron and Alan are at the forefront of that. Leading the wins is a $3 million bonding to begin a process of replacing DNR's 130-year-old St. Paul fish hatchery. Now, if you've listened to Ron Shear at all on any of his shows, and any of the shows that we've had him on, that's been his absolute number one thing. That facility is absolutely trashed. It's baling wire and duct tape is all that's holding it together, and the state needs that fish hatchery as part of the development and the maintaining of a good fish population in many, many lakes across the Minnesota state area. And having that there and having that now increase, or I should say being rebuilt, is such a huge thing. It's the Metro's only fish raising facility. And as the quote is, it's severely dilapidated. It continues to raise walleye and muskie for stocking in key metro areas. The eye is on the session of the bonding bill included $30 million to the DNR to repair, replace capital investments, including more public water accesses, which has been a major problem as well. It's been, whether it's hunting, Don, or fishing, access is always a problem, as you know. Maintaining habitat is part of it as well. So when they look at it, they looked at that bill, and the 2023 MinFish, they successfully urged lawmakers to reinvest in the hatcheries, public accesses, and shore fishing structures, which resulted in a $98.1 million appropriation. That's pretty cool. That's what happens when Minnesota anglers stand up and say, fix these problems. For years, we've been asking the legislature to rebuild our fish management infrastructure and crumbling boat ramps. To draw attention to the St. Paul Fish Hatchery, MinFish regularly invited legislators to tour the hatchery so they could see for themselves how aged the facility was, and it relies on duct tape and wire to hold pipes in place, literally, which is crazy. MinFish, again, I'll bring them up multiple times, you guys. If you want to donate to MinFish, they are truly an amazing and active and effective tool for the anglers to have their voices heard. So look it up, MinFish, MNFISH, and they're on the website or on the web. You can find their website there. So, and I think we have it on our site too, or we will have. But the launching of the 2018 group of anglers, that's when it started. They saw that without angler involvement in the process of legislation, the state investment in fishing had ground to a halt, and literally had no investment over a recent 20-year period.
At all?
At all. Zero.
Wow.
They changed that since 2023. MinFish, thanks to them, the state invested in things like invasive carp control, boat accesses, urban fishing opportunities, hatcheries, and more that have topped $130 million. And if we know what Minnesota is as far as a profit center for the state, it is fishing is in the top three, usually every single year, because of the opportunities, the vacationing areas, and that whether it's businesses as well that are in,
it's a huge industry.
Rapala is in Minnesota. I mean, you're looking at, that's a huge deal.
Look at all the boat companies.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's good business. Fishing and boating generates $6.6 billion annually in economic benefit in the state of Minnesota. and they produce over $200 million annually in state taxes. So the investments make sense. And we know those things. If you don't have the facilities, you don't have the benefit, you don't have something people want to do, it will fade away and people won't do it anymore. That's just it. If the facilities don't work and if the fish aren't there. MinFish President Ron Sherris says the organization had an emphasis and serious budget shortages with the DNR Fishery Management Program. For nearly two decades, the DNP's fishery division has been forced to cut staffing in response to budget shortfalls. The impact, though not immediate, not apparent to most of us, has been substantial. Key management tools like fish and krill surveys that help the DNR monitor numbers, those are big things. Harvest and forage availability on fisheries, that's been a big thing to really monitor and cut the frequency and greatly reduce waters. Other than big walleye lakes like Mille Lacs, they continue Leech and Red. And because those are the sites that they keep them at, and they're not able to micromanage. And Don, if you look at north to south, east to west, you look at farm lakes versus north lakes, there's a lot of difference in how those lakes need to be managed and what's going on with the fisheries. You've been Austin many times, and you know the fish in the southern part of the state, they generally don't get the same quote-unquote attraction and or ability to have the dollars go that direction, and it's a challenge.
That's true. I mean, it's part of the problem is there's a heavy concentration of fishing that happens in those southern lakes, so it's tough to keep up with.
Last week, the Star Tribune and Outdoor News ran articles detailing that the fish harvest in Minnesota exceeds 80 million pounds annually. And that's more than double the state's estimate of 30 million pounds, which is crazy. The difference may have been easy answer. Last time Minnesota produced or conducted a statewide harvest survey was 2001.
I was going to say, how do they know? I mean, how do you, shy of a survey.
So again, they say that the state's harvest was exceeding 80 million pounds annually. That's more than double the state's estimate of 30 million pounds. So they don't really know what's being pulled out of the waters.
Right.
So they don't have the creel survey to tell. They don't have all those things to be able to monitor that. And that's where the funding is going to be a key piece to understanding those focus points and areas that are being or in a lack of monitor. And a new creel survey is now being conducted, which is the cool part. We're going to be able to see that. And of course, they're going to keep at their MinFish will keep at the commitment to invite anglers to go to their meetings, come out and meet with people, listen, learn. First two summits were held in Grand Rapids and Alexandria. The site for the 2027 Minnesota MinFish Summit has not been yet announced. So that will be coming quite soon. So that'll be, in my opinion, a bonus. Because if you want to be involved, get after it. And I think if you look at the overall concept, I think pheasant hunting is probably one of those big ones, Don. If you invest in the habitat, you get a return.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I mean, it can't exist without habitat.
No.
So, I mean, that's...
And I think that's one of the challenges we've had in Minnesota. I mean, you know what how successful hunting has not been in Minnesota, right? So that's a big challenge.
Right.
You know. Real briefly, we had some good news, and I don't think I haven't announced this, but a Trump administration, they've decided to defend protections for Alaska's famed Bristol Bay. Have you heard that, Don?
No.
Yeah. So they're actually going to work with, a Canadian mining company wanted to go and mine in this area in Bristol Bay. And they had a decade-long quest to extract gold and copper from the headwaters above the world's best salmon run, according to Salmon State. The Vancouver-based Northern Dynasty Minerals failed to reach an agreement with the Department of Justice in its current court case challenging the Clean Water Act protections for the world-famous Bristol Bay in southwest Alaska. The administration first blocked the Pebble Creek mine back in 2020. That's when the Corps of Engineers had denied a critical permit, and that is a key piece to it. Then in 2023, the Biden administration EPA used a section of the Clean Water Act to veto the project altogether, and Northern Dynasty is now fighting both Biden-era Clean Water Act veto and the Trump Area Army Corps permit denial in the federal courts in Alaska. And that whole area, we thank the administration for defending this one-of-a-kind natural resource, which is cool. Bristol Bay's world-class salmon generates upwards of $2.2 billion in economic activity, vital source of clean, nutritious food, represents one of the great hunting and angling destinations in the world. Have you ever been up there?
I have not. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Both the permit and the denial and the EPA's decision to safeguard Bristol Bay as a powerhouse fishery, 15,000 jobs exist in that area. It's crazy. Within the fishing world, and of course, tens of thousands of hunters and anglers visit the area on an annual basis. So, pretty cool. Decision to do this is supported by sound science and backed by strong public coalition and opinion. 63% of Alaskans are against mining in Bristol Bay. More than 4 million public comments have been submitted in support of the protections since they were first proposed more than a decade ago. And I think that's, in my opinion, a super cool thing to do.
Yep.
And, you know, when you go ahead, Don.
Did you hear the president just recently signed new fishery executive order that they opened up 550 square miles off the East Coast for Maine, you know, in that area up on the East Coast, where evidently all the other countries were fishing in our water, but we weren't being allowed to do that. So they've opened that up now. And
they actually had Sig Hansen was on from the Northwestern on the Deadliest Catch and was commenting on it, and it was a big deal. So I think that's going to be a nice addition, and it helps out that economy a great deal. So we certainly appreciate everybody listening. That wraps it up. Time goes by fast. Don, good to see you. Ava, good to see you. And I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun out there and be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.